Well, hello and welcome in again to the Worship Life Podcast with Mike Harlan. This is your co-host, Brian Brown.
Back from his vacation.
I am back. I am energized.
Do you hear it in his voice,
ladies and gentlemen? I'm thrilled to be in the B.B. McKinney studios.
Do you realize you're talking about 20 decibels higher than you normally
do? Well, you know, I've been revived. I've been restored. I've been rejuvenated. Mike, let me tell you this.
Please.
Sabbath is not a request. It's a commandment, my friend.
Oh, my gosh.
And so I jumped on the Sabbath bandwagon with my wife to celebrate our 30th anniversary and went to London, England for 8 days. And I'm refreshed, I'm rejuvenated, and excited to be in the beautifully festooned B.B. McKinney Studios. Yes. Here, but we're not here to talk about me and my great vacation.
So while you were gone,
yes,
Tim Henning hosted.
Tim, our engineer. And
have you heard those?
I have not heard those, no. I've heard comments about Tim's filling in for me, but I haven't yet listened to the actual
There's one
tapes.
Where the closing, you know, you're such right. a professional. People don't realize.
Right. Yes, it's not a hobby, Mike.
It's not a hobby. You're such a professional. And there was a closing that Tim struggled a little bit with. Mm. And Tim, he's the one that edits these
sure.
together. He
sure.
decided to leave the struggle.
The unedited closing.
In there yeah. so people could... I think it's so people could know just how awesome you
well,
are.
Well, thank you, Tim. I appreciate that. I need that kind of help. And hopefully there's not any missing 28 seconds of tape or anything that's going to cause any kind of controversy during my absence. Listen, Mike, we could go on and on all day, but our listeners, I feel, are already bored, and they want to know who our guest is today on the Worship Life Podcast with Mike.
Totally Carlin. Unplanned.
This is exciting. We had someone stop by. We've told all of you, listeners, when you're in Nashville, Tennessee, beautiful Music City, USA, stop by the Lifeway building, come up to the 9th floor, and we'll show you the studios. Here and someone did that today, Mike. They stopped in and we're going to talk to him.
In town, and he's in town for a very, very important reason, more than one.
Yes.
But this guy is becoming one of our favorite people, and he and I have become close friends over the last year. The guy's name is Gardner Pippin.
Right.
And if you don't know Gardner Pippin, you should know Gardner Pippin. And if you are a Southern Baptist and you go to the Southern Baptist Convention next summer, you will definitely know Gardner Pippin.
Yes.
And you probably know his pastor.
J.D. Greer.
From
the new president of Southern Baptist
The great
Convention.
Summit Church there yes. in Raleigh. And Gardner's the worship pastor there. And Lifeway Worship has a very strategic relationship with Summit Worship. We're in a development relationship where we're working on songs together and we're working on some EPs. And it's a thrill for us to be partnered with Summit Church with worship resources. And man, Gardner Pippin, he's sitting like 3 feet from me right now, so yeah. I'm embarrassed to say this in front of him, but I'm telling you, he's one of my favorite people I've met in the last few years, and just excited about all God's doing in his life. With that beautiful and unbelievable introduction, welcome Gardner Pippin.
Welcome Gardner.
You can
Thank
talk
you.
Now. You
Thank,
can talk
thanks.
Now.
Man, you guys are
Do you feel
kind.
Special?
I do.
Feel
I feel special? I feel like we should stop the podcast right here
should.
Because if I talk any further, I might disprove everything you've said. So.
All right, so Gardner, this is totally unscripted because it was 15 minutes ago. We were sitting down to start recording, and you told me you were in the building, and I sent my assistant after you and said, bring him in the studio. So this is completely unscripted. So maybe people won't be able to tell. So first of all, what are you doing in Nashville? I think people would find that interesting.
Absolutely. I just love Nashville.
No. Yes, you do.
I do love Nashville. Came in town, Monday, Sunday, because we had a hurricane last
Correct.
Weekend, and
yes.
My flight got changed, so surprisingly came in town Sunday. I spent some time working on some songs on Monday and Tuesday, and I came here with the specific purpose of going to the Southern Baptist Convention Executive Committee and Committee on Order of Business
yes.
meeting.
That's
so
nice.
I have a sports coat on right now, which is not normal
actually,
for me.
Actually, when I saw you, I knew that you had been in the SBC headquarters.
I look very yeah. SBC today.
Yes, you do.
So.
You do. So, Gardner, let me ask you, don't give any secrets away, but are you excited about what's taking shape in terms of the convention next year with your pastor being the president and what
I
you
am.
Know is happening?
I am. I think it's going to be a really good year. I'm really excited about the annual meeting and what's in store for us. I think it's, I got to be really careful.
Yeah.
Because they talked something about confidentiality
yeah,
today.
Don't share. Yeah. Don't share anything you're
Yeah, it's going to be fantastic.
Share.
It's going to
But
be awesome.
You would tell anybody listening they ought to be there.
Absolutely. If you are a Southern Baptist, you should come to Birmingham next summer. in June and join us as we gather together with brothers and sisters all across the country.
I was surprised about this reading in the Baptist Press, and I was surprised I was reading in the Baptist Press. But more than 70 years, I think it's been since we've been to Birmingham, something like that. It's been a very, very long time since the convention's been held there, which is amazing since it's so close. But that's going to be a thrilling. It's always a thrilling event. And for you, would this be your first time to lead the music and the worship?
It will be
programming and that kind of thing.
First time I have had the privilege of doing this. It'll be my third annual meeting that I've been a part of, so I'm super excited. Our team is really excited. We are looking forward to worshiping with God's people, Southern Baptists from all over the country, and believe that it's just going to be a catalyst. I think we'll have an opportunity to catalyze raising the temperature of worship in the life of Southern Baptists. So one of the things I'm most excited about.
All right, so you're kind of giving away to our audience why we are so excited about our partnership with Summit. Because your church brings a biblical center, focus on Christ, focus on the gospel, to the worship ministry, and I love your pastor.
Me too.
And and his preaching and his commitment to the scripture is amazing. His gift is amazing as a speaker. But what I've really loved is watching him. And his interest and his excitement about what God's doing at Summit Worship. We had that dinner.
That's right. Yeah.
And we ate a steak that's named
steak.
After him.
42 ounces to be exact.
Exactly. And I had the chance to spend the evening hearing him talk about you guys.
Yep.
And man, everybody out there, listen, there's nothing like a shared ministry approach to worship ministry, where it's not the pastor saying, hey, just give me 30 minutes. And it's not the music guy that's over in his corner carving out his world, but it's two leaders, and in this case, many leaders, who are looking at the worship event as both revelation and response. It would have to be. With such a strong pulpiteer, I bet you could get pretty pumped up about planning a worship service, knowing what's going to come from the pulpit.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Always, week in and week out, it's exciting to gather with the people of the Summit Church to sing, to respond as God reveals to us. And no doubt, JD is a gifted communicator, gifted preacher. Man, he loves God's people worshiping. He's passionate about that.
Yeah.
And I think that's a lot of why he is invested in our ministry. And for us to be not just a blessing and a catalyst inside the walls of the Summit Church, but to say, hey, we want to be good stewards of the gifts God has given our ministry. He has been incredibly gracious in giving us the gift of just a wonderful team of men and women. And so we want to steward those gifts well, not just for the sake of the Summit Church, but for the sake of the global church.
Yeah, that's great. Now, Gardner, we're talking about Summit Worship right now. We'll get into some of these other couple of thoughts here in a second. Here's one of the things I've observed about Summit Worship, being around you, watching what God's doing, watching your services. I watch your services quite often, and the different worship leaders you have, multiple campuses, lots of things going on. But here's one of the marks of your ministry that's kind of unique. There is a diversity.
Yes.
About your ministry. And when I say diversity, I'm talking about certainly ethnic diversity.
Sure.
But there's a music diversity.
Yeah.
There's a generational diversity. There's all kinds of different ways that you guys engage the body of Christ. Talk about how intentional that is. And how did you get there? How did you get to the place where when you look across the stage at the Summit Worship team, you see a whole lot of different kinds of people from a lot of different kinds of background. How'd that happen?
Yeah, I'm going to sound super churchy and cliche, but I would have to start with just God's incredible grace to us, right? Yes, intentional, but in our own power, in our own strength, it's not going to happen. So spirit enabled, it comes from the heart of God. And so, we try to be intentional for many years, even before I came on staff. So I've been at the Summit Church for a little over 5 years, but the men that led this ministry before me, they really pioneered this.
Yeah.
For me to take credit for that would be wrong, a lie. So I've just tried to take what they started and keep putting my foot on the gas pedal there. Man, when the church wants diversity, I think a lot of times right now when we're talking about diversity, it's a hot topic in the life of local church. Really what we mean is we want multicolored, but that's not going to get diversity.
No,
right?
That isn't. That's well said. I want you to unpack that a little bit. Because it's two different things.
Absolutely. This is all. Pastor JD has just pioneered this for our church, and so that's one of the things that he says. But it's not multicolored. We want multicultural. And so what that means is, if I want someone who looks different than me to come into our church, or in this sense on our staff team, I don't just want their face. I want their culture.
Yeah.
I want their preferences. Well, if I want their preferences and those aren't the same as mine, then that means I'm going to have to lay down a lot of my preferences. And so, man, we are not perfect and we don't have it figured out. That's why I say just it's by God's grace that we are where we are, and we have a long ways to go. But yes, to your point, Mike, we have a very diverse team in terms of age. In terms of gender, men and women, and then in terms of race and culture. And so we just tell our church, hey, listen, we believe that this church and our staff should look like the demographics of heaven. And yeah. If it's going to look that way, then it's going to sound that way.
Yeah.
And it's going to feel that way. So we're just pressing into that and saying, okay, If I'm not uncomfortable, then we're probably not pursuing diversity.
Yeah, you and I talked about this one time in a phone conversation. And that's the thing about it. We don't get to talk that often.
Yeah.
But when we do, we usually talk a long time.
A long time.
Like, Gardner, I've got to go. My wife had dinner ready an hour ago. and you've done the same to me.
That's
it's
right.
Kind of funny. We get going and we can't stop. But you made a statement to me one time that I thought about several times. And that was in this inclusion of culture.
Mm-hmm.
And you just referenced this, so I'm going to call it out and let you just speak a little further to it. You, along the way, have to lay down your own preferences to do that. And here you are, the worship pastor, and you really think we ought to sing this song this way, and it would serve that song the best. But if you did that all the time, you wouldn't be building the multicultural experience.
That's right.
You feel like God's called you to do. So that is certainly that's a big part of this. Unpack that a little more for me, and it's not that your way's better or not as good. It's that it's different, and you have to. That's a decision you have to make all the time. Isn't
Absolutely,
it?
I think this is getting at the heart of God, and the Bible calls us to reconciliation and in being reconciled to one another. I believe that we have to lay down our preferences for the sake of gospel unity, right? So we all know that the foundation of this, the starting point, where we rally around in different cultures is the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's what we cling to. But I think what you see in different cultures are these different expressions, particularly when the church gathers to worship together. Let me just give you an example. I'm going to always wave the congregational flag. One of the things I've learned in us pursuing diversity and having people of color on our staff and having these conversations with them is my understanding of congregational worship is very different than maybe my black brothers and sisters. And they celebrate some things in congregational worship that I would say, not only would I not celebrate those, I would say, I don't prefer that. And I think that might even be distracting, right? And they're like, that's not distracting. I love that.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
So, man, having conversations. I think this is the key piece here in pursuing this is relationships.
Absolutely.
Right. So I sit down and I try to listen. I'm bad, okay? Because I like to talk, as you can tell. I have tried to posture myself, and our staff tries to posture ourselves in this place of humility and saying, "Hey, let's just start a conversation, and I'm just going to listen. I'm going to let you talk. I'm going to let you share with me what your heart is, what your hurts are, what your frustrations are, and not try to give an answer to it every single time.
Yeah.
So fostering rich relationships within our staff team, I think has allowed us to progress in this area.
It happens in concentric circles. As I always tell people, that ministry happens in concentric circles. That smallest circle, you, your wife, your husband, your children, it happens there first.
Yeah.
You minister to each other there.
Absolutely.
Then it's going to happen in that next circle out, which is your team, your cohorts, all the people you do ministry with.
Right.
It happens there. And if it's authentic in that small circle and in that next circle, it goes to the congregation. It gets real there.
Right.
And then it goes beyond the walls of the church.
Absolutely.
And it gets real there. So, but if you're not getting those small circles first, if you're not authentic there,
right,
it's going to crumble real quickly in the big circles.
That's right.
That's exactly what you're talking about. All right. So we could talk that subject all day, but we got other things to talk to you about. So we've signed Summit Worship to a development deal with Lifeway. So
hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
We talked about it for a long time. And we probably can't even say in a podcast like this all the things that we're going to do together because we don't really even know. But we do know that we're going to write songs together.
That's right.
And you've been in town writing with some of our writers this week. Other members of your team have been to town. And by the way, collaborating with not just Lifeway writers, but with writers across church music, Christian music.
Yeah.
And we'll keep looking for those strategic partnerships because we believe in the body of Christ doing that. Mm-hmm. And we're going to do two EPs together.
That's right.
And when's the first one? I don't even know. Do we have it on the calendar yet?
We are looking at a June 2019.
There you go.
Release.
That sounds like it'd be just in time for the Southern Baptist Convention in Birmingham.
You know, Brian, you're paying attention, aren't you? You know what? How exciting that would be for a new song of faith to emerge there.
Yeah.
Not just a new song of faith, but a new spirit of worship and bibliocentric and Christocentric worship led by our convention president, J.D. Greer, and his team at Summit Worship. And some new songs from you guys. That'd be pretty cool.
I think so.
Yeah.
I think so.
And so we're working on that together. And you're going to be at Worship Life next year.
We are.
So Brian, did you know that?
I did not.
You didn't know that?
Surprise,
that
was
Brian.
A done deal. So you guys are going to be in Gatlinburg and out in California.
We can't take those guys to California. We really haven't talked about California yet. So
I think he told me I had to sell some records beforehand to take them to California.
Well that'll end up being my fault.
California Riverside's not really, we're not in the planning stages quite to that level of detail. But Gardner and the Summit Worship guys are going to be leading worship for the plenary sessions of Worship Life in Gatlinburg.
That is awesome.
2019, and that will be fantastic. You know, in previous years, we've done that different ways. We've done it where we've had a different worship team every day or an artist one day or whatever. This year, the Summit Worship guys are going to lead all week long. And Michael Kelly, director of discipleship for Lifeway, author, speaker, Michael's awesome. I mean, I'm so blessed. He's going to be our preacher for the week.
Oh, that's incredible.
So Summit Worship
and
Michael Kelly
and
Worship Life registration is already open, by the way.
Yes.
So jump in there and be part of it.
Lifeway.com/events will get you there, or worshiplifeevent.com, I believe, will also get you there. And you're going to want to find out. You can find out information about both events. And but the one, Worship Life Gatlinburg, is the one coming up the soonest, and that's exciting. That's going to be a great week.
Yeah, it'll be the end of June, and it's going to be amazing. Of course, Worship Life Riverside actually happens in May, and I don't know, Brian, May actually.
I might want to look at the calendar.
May actually happens before June. So,
we're at Riverside before we're in Gatlinburg.
Yeah, we were last year too.
Well, I wasn't at either place.
No, you're right. Yeah. Why don't you go back to London?
All right. Sorry about that.
But you know what you are.
Yes.
All right. So let's go to a third level of conversation here with Gardner. We talk about Summit Worship. We talk about the thing that we're doing together, and of course the role that his team is going to have in SBC. Let's talk third about just what you see happening in the church and worship in general. Mm. Because you guys have multiple campuses. You're in Raleigh.
We do.
And, of course, a very multicultural. Think about Raleigh. If people haven't been to Raleigh, I think every university in America is in Raleigh, North Carolina. It's like
close
this.
Close by. Yeah.
I mean, North Carolina State, Duke, North Carolina. Those are just
Wake Forest is not far.
Campbell.
And on and on. So you see, and what universities do is they bring people from everywhere.
That's right.
To come to universities. So you're seeing a lot of things happening. And, of course, your generation now stepping up into roles of leadership. Mm-hmm. So what do you see happening in the church, capital C? with your generation, what are some things you would point to say, hey, watch out for us, because here's how we're going after God's heart? I didn't prompt you for this. It's a big question, but chase that thought just a little bit for me.
Yeah, I think where I would start would be, I won't speak too long because we just spent some time talking to it, but maybe the big thing is diversity and gathered worship. Multiculturalism in the context of the song of the church. I think that that where we are today and where we're going is desperate to say, I want to do this with the people of God that encompasses a lot more than me or just people that look like me. And I want to do that in a way that pursues the depth of the culture, not just the difference of the color, of people. So I think that's one of the big things there. I see an interesting dynamic. I don't want to call it necessarily a dichotomy, but I think we are feeling very deep in gathered worship today, and I think we want to think very deep in gathered worship today, and those shouldn't be at odds with one another, right? If that were the case, then we would just throw the Psalms out, and that would be a shame, right?
I think
what we're going to see are deep, theologically rich songs that have a deep expression of feeling and emotion in gathered worship, which is good because that's when God reveals himself to us, right, in the depths of that, we're going to respond in a way that it's going to be emotive.
Yeah.
There are going to be emotions in that. So I think that maybe for a season, the church was hesitant. Like, we don't want to be too feely here.
Yeah.
And I'm like, man, you cannot read the Bible and not see the depth of emotions in worship and even in song. And so I think that's what this next generation of worshipers is looking for. I think you're going to see, I think we are seeing a revitalization of the hymn. Not just holding on to hymns of the past where, the church is singing what the church has sung for hundreds of years. Mm-hmm. But I think even you've got guys like Matt Boswell, Matt Papa, Keith Getty, that are pioneering new hymns. That are pioneering new hymns in the church. And I think it's great because I think that the hymn is, I think it's unique to the church.
Yep.
So I'm excited to see that.
I like that.
Excited to see how our team will embrace that.
Now, well, here's what came to my mind. There is a problem with there's a difference between emotion and emotionalism.
Hmm.
And for the fear of emotionalism, we've abandoned emotion.
Yeah.
We thought there wasn't a place for emotion. We don't want emotionalism. That's when it becomes about itself, and that is unhealthy.
That's right.
Leads us down the wrong path. But emotion and worship, I immediately go to Romans 11, which is, I've kind of been living in this chapter for a long time. Paul in Romans 11 is in this deep theological review of the concept of the Gentiles being grafted in to the vine, the chosen people, that God is creating this spiritual race. And Paul, writing to the church at Rome, helping them understand that it was the rejection of the Jews that made a way for the Gentiles, and now the Gentiles come in, and that God's going to put together this one race, a spiritual race, what he intended all along, Jew and Gentile alike. Very deep theological, the long sentences, the way Paul tends to do when he's on a topic like that. And right at the end of that long diatribe about theology, he goes, oh, the depth and the riches of both the wisdom and the knowledge of God. He breaks out in a song at the end of chapter 11.
Mm-hmm.
And my takeaway from that one passage, but there are many, many, many others like this, where the deep dive in the theological end of the pool, when you come face to face with the infinity of God and the sovereignty of God and the majesty and the wonder of God, this deep thought produces an emotional response. And you see that. And then right out of that hymn in Romans 11, he says, therefore, I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. Goes right into that in Romans 12. And that's the worship thing right there.
Yep.
Revelation, response, mission.
Yes.
It's all right there.
Absolutely.
And it happens over and over and over again. All right. So you just talked a little bit about this, and we're probably running toward the end of our time. But So you're writing songs, and your team's writing songs. You've got a number of songwriters on your team, mm-hmm. and some really, really great people. And I love them all. We've hung out together, mm-hmm. and gone to eat together. And, man, your team knows how to write songs, and they know how to eat. So I've been watching that, too.
They're Southern Baptists.
Yeah, they're good. They're good. But so you talked about how the worship changes, and you talked a little bit about this. But let talk about the modern song. Mm. And we were mentioning those songwriters you were talking about. So maybe we've already said it. But keep going down that thread a little further. Talk to that worship pastor that's out there listening to our podcast right now. What does the song of faith look like in the next 25 years as we become increasingly diverse, but also more attuned to theological concern, but also emotional expression? And I guess what I'm saying, I'm your publisher now, so I'm saying, what kind of song are you trying to write right now? That's what I'm trying to say.
Mike, what kind of song would you like me to write, brother? Maybe one major through line here is centered on the Word of God.
Yeah.
Right? Because it is God's revealed truth, and it is the primary way, like we say at the Summit Church, the Bible is where we see God. Well, if worship is the rhythm of this of revelation and response, God revealing and we respond, then we want to look at God's word. Mm-hmm. Like his primary means for revealing himself to us is in his word. And so I think what we're seeing, what we should see, what I hope to see in the song of faith is a deep devotion to writing biblical content and then looking at that and going, how do I respond? How do I engage my emotions from this truth?
Yeah.
That would be appropriate to me. It would be right to me. So I think we're seeing it. I think people have been doing it for a long time. I think we're seeing more of it. It's kind of a heightened sense of an awareness of it today. So, I think that's the major thing is.
So here's my concern. All right, because I totally agree with all that, and that's exactly what we need to chase. But here's a concern I have about the modern song, and I want – you don't have to answer this, but I want you to go do something about this as a songwriter.
Okay.
is all the songs I'm hearing today are saying the same things.
Mm-hmm.
We're not covering very much of the story in modern worship today. We're running back to the same themes over and over and over again in our worship. So how do we – God's going to have to help us with that, Gardner.
He is. I'll answer in two ways.
Okay.
One, I think, which you would agree with. One, I'm not sure. God's going to have to help us for sure. And I think we need to be exploring the depths of the meta narrative of the Bible.
Yeah.
The full story. We need to write more songs of contrition. We need to write more songs of confession. We need to write more songs about the mission of God. Those are like gaps that we see in our song catalog.
Yeah.
But I'll caveat all of that with we sing a lot of the same stuff, a lot of the same theme, a lot of the same story, because we cannot get beyond the story of redemption.
Yeah.
And, someone told me, stop singing the same old things about the same old things recently. And I said, man, if I don't sing the same old things about the same old things, if I don't sing the story of God's redemption, plan for redemption, I'm not going to remember the gospel. Hmm. And that's what the Lord calls us to. The daily remember that. That's what's gonna compel us on mission.
Right? All right. So there are some things we just need to sing about.
Yes.
And keep singing about. Okay. I will receive that from my songwriter who has and I agree. Thank you for that reminder.
Can I add one more thing
Please
to it, Mike?
Do.
I would
Please
just
do.
Say as artists, as creatives, if we're going to say the same old thing, let's say it in a fresh new way.
There you go.
Right.
There
so
you go.
Don't write the same song that sounds just like the hottest one today.
Yeah. Keith Getty says this all the time, probably because he's a melody writer, but a song's got melody is so important. And a song that has a poor melody, regardless of its rich theology, will likely not be sung, Keith says. Mm-hmm. A song could have very poor theology and a great melody, and that song might be sung.
And
so
that never
melody
happens.
Is critically important. And then you also talked about your focus on the congregational singing and ranges and all of these kinds of things. I can hear me as a worship leader and so many worship leaders we've talked to, Mike, out there in the field, as we're thinking about all of these things we want to write songs about from a theological perspective and lyrically and how we want to adore God and we want to learn more about him and then respond to that revelation. Let's not forget that we've got to be able to sing it, and it's got to be interesting melodically for us to remember it as much as it's got to be interesting from a textual standpoint. I know we know all those things, but I think sometimes the thing, Mike, that I hear over and over again, even if it's the same theme and the story that we'd love to tell the story, you know, over and over again, and we should love to tell the story, but give me a different melody and give me a different, and make sure it's in a pitch where I can sing it. And so those kind of things can't get lost either as we pursue those other noble goals.
Yeah. Well said, Brian. And I just want to close this podcast out by saying how encouraged I am, Gardner, by you and people I know like you and your generation. There were heroes of mine when I was your age, and they've gone on. And now my generation is we're in the fourth quarter of our ministry time. I hate to admit
that. The sunset years of your life, Mike.
Thank you. I'm a grandfather now. I don't know if y'all.
We've seen the pictures.
Yes, we have. It's so encouraging to me to look back behind me on the track, a lap or two behind, and see guys like you.
Thanks, man.
That blesses me because your love for the Lord, your love for His Word, God's given you a teaching gift, a pastoral gift, a calling on your life. That's been surrendered to him. And now people like JD, who's now in a place where he's influencing our convention and setting direction and inspiring Southern Baptists and people well beyond Southern Baptist life. And I'm just encouraged that God has something great he's doing in his church and something great that's coming because he's raising up a generation of leaders like you and JD and others that are now speaking to the church, and I'm encouraged by that, and I'm very, very grateful. And I'm fired up that Summit Worship and Lifeway Worship are working together.
Absolutely.
Can't wait to hear those two songs I've heard about that Craig told me y'all turned in. That's awesome. I haven't heard them yet. And can't wait to hear that EP and all that God's going to do, Worship Life and beyond. So thank you for stopping in.
Hey, thanks for
having
me. We
didn't really give you much choice. We grabbed you dragged you into the studio. So, anyway, thanks, Gardner.
Yes, thank you, Gardner. And so great, Mike, to hear about what's going on at Summit Church and the convention, talk about songwriting. We know that you, those of you who listen to the Worship Life podcast with Mike Harlan, love to be a part of the discussion. So, as always, we ask you to email us, worship@lifeway.com. Let us know how we can pray for you and your church and your ministry. Let us know what your thoughts are on the song that the church is singing today and how we can do that better. Songs that need to be written and topics that we're not singing about. Let us know how we can pray for you specifically. We do that every week in the Lifeway Worship team, and we love to hear from you. Also, engage us at the Worship Life blog, worshiplife.com. You can join the discussion there and the conversation about worship and music and worship and the importance of it to our churches and to our people. Until next time, for Mike Harlan, this is Brian Brown saying thanks for joining us on the Worship Life podcast with Mike Harlan. We'll be back together to talk about worship again very soon.